often I find myself sleeping. In little things you may think it doesn't matter, but when I come into His holy presence, His light reveals my life and shows me where I'm wrong. Crying, prevailing, oh Lord, hear our prayer. This life on earth is only a shadow, and the bride of Christ is longing for the morning, when the King of Kings is coming in power. Seeing face to face, His glory will behold. Crying, prevailing, oh Lord, hear our prayer.
Amidst the hustling, clamoring world, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God speaking to my soul. But in my quiet time alone, when I approach His holy throne, His tender words fall gently on my ears.
He still speaks.
There are so many who still doubt that God can speak today. They laugh and mock when we say we've heard from God. Yet the still small voice of God is heard above the doubters of this world. It's time His word ring out with hope today.
It's a grand privilege and pleasure for me again to be addressing you. We certainly appreciate the Lord for His goodness and His grace. And we thank God that we are not Americans, we're not Africans, we're not Germans, we are Christians. We have a national spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And so we thank God tonight for the privilege that I have to be able to address you. I want to greet you all in the name of the Lord, and all the ministering brothers that I had met in fellowship. I want to say God bless you, and we're looking forward to spend eternity with you. Amen. We thank God there's an end time anointing. And this end time anointing is not a come and go anointing, but it's a transforming anointing. It's an anointing not only for the church, for the 2 hours, but it's an anointing that goes home with us. It's an anointing that goes to our offices, goes home with us. It's a permanent anointing. Amen. It's an end-time anointing that brings us a transformation. Amen. And may God bless us tonight as we will go into the subject that we have started last night. Let's turn to our Bibles as we stand in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 again. I want to read from verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to read from verse 21. Ephesians 5, and we read from verse 21, very familiar scripture again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself. So he's presenting it back to himself again, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love for us, O God. We realize this evening we never chose you, but you chose us. It is not our love for you, but it's your love for us. We thank you for this great elective love. We thank you for this great plan of redemption, O God. We thank you that we were redeemable for you to redeem us. And Father, we just pray that you will take me off the scene and you will, God, just be able to address the church and bless us, Father, as we will minister to the saints of God. Father, may you be with us tonight as we commit the service before you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We want to be continuing on the royal robe of submission, and we trust the Lord that he will meet us in a very special way. Amen. I'm so happy that I could be here, and I'm certainly happy that God has designed us to meet in this hour. We could not be expressed in any other church age, but God expressed us in this church age. God had us in his great computer mind, and God programmed us out to be expressed in this day. And it's a miracle how God even got us here. But we thank God that we are here to be expressed, to serve God in this end time age. We have got no joy of our own, but it is his joy that has given us. It is not our faith, but it's his faith that has given us. It is not our life, but it's his life that he has given us. And the moment God gives you his life, it's no more God's, it's your life. It used to be God's faith, but now it's your faith. And that's why the messenger said you can speak in the revelation of your faith. Because God has transferred whatever was in God, he has given it to the church. And the church of Jesus Christ, we are the feminine expression of God. Amen. We are Jesus in bride form. We are the glory of God. We are the image of God. Amen. And that's why we thank God tonight that we cannot even fall, because God cannot change his mind about us. Amen. God has got no second thoughts about you. His first thought, that was a perfect thought. Amen. And that thought was vision, but that thought became substance. Amen. When God took a picture of you, he never saw you drinking. He never saw you smoking. He never saw you committing adultery. He took a picture of you, what in his mind, that perfect picture. Amen. And that's the only way God sees you. And that's why the messenger said, if you can only see the way God looks at you, it's all over. Amen. You can judge yourself by yourself. You can look at your temperament. You can look at your ways. You say, you can look at all your mistakes, and you might try to reconstruct yourself. But God doesn't judge you the way you look at yourself. God only sees you the way he saw you.
Amen.
When he took a picture of you.
Amen.
Before time ever began. Brother Branham says, before God even made Lucifer, he knew that in Lucifer will be a power of deception. But God made a way for you before he designed Lucifer. And he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. So that you could not be deceived. Amen. So before God even had a thought of Lucifer, you were already part of his thoughts. Amen. Before there is a word, before there is a thought, before there is a word, there's got to be a thought. And before there's a thought, there's got to be an attribute. Before there's an attribute, there's got to be a source where the attribute comes from. Amen. And that's why whatever was in God, he had to work out what was in him. And we are the feminine expression of God. Aren't you happy tonight, brother and sister? Seven church ages was the revelation of him, but now it's the revelation of her. The seven seals shows us how we were in Christ in the beginning and how we will reveal at the end time. What are the messages of the hour? Is the revelation of the bride. In the book of Genesis, it was the Lamb of Abel. When John the Baptist came on the scene, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. But in the book of Revelation, it says, behold, the Lamb's wife.
Amen.
Amen. It is the hour when the Lamb's wife has got to be revealed. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? What a great day, what a great hour we are living in. And it's this revelation of who we are that's going to change us and blow this body into the atoms. Knowing the impact of who you really are. You never had a beginning. You always were eternal. And you were a part of God. You've only come in the body called time and express in the land of America, on the land of Africa, on different continents. But you always were a thought of God.
Amen.
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 And thank God tonight that before he even made design Lucifer, he already thought about you.
Amen.
And God has got more faith in the thought concerning you than you have in your own self. Because he can never lose you. A mother might forget a suckling child, but God can never lose you. Amen. We want to be looking at the subject of submission, the royal robe of submission, and how that the woman has that secret key of submission to bring out of the man all she desires. Amen. Brother Branham spoke about medical science has discovered that if a man have bitterness, it will cause cancer in the body. And if a man have a continual grudge against people, it will cause heart attacks. Your heart don't attack you, you attack your own heart. And if you have a lot of worry and stress, it causes ulcers in the body. That's why worry has got no virtue. There is no virtue in worry. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gets you nowhere. Amen. But we thank God. Perfect love has come to remove fear away from us. That's why when the capstone comes, fear is removed.
Amen.
Brother Branham says in the church ages, it was men ruling the people by fear or holding the people around them by fear. But that fear has been taken off.
Amen.
Amen. And perfect love has dropped down.
Amen.
Amen. The owner, the trainer, and the horse has got now one mind.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So we want to be looking at the great subject of submission again. We know the more you submit, the more you humble yourself before God, You can bring out all the good qualities that's in God. We want to be looking at that. It is important to see God's purpose in obedience. That's why it takes God for a woman to love and obey a man day after day and year after year. It takes godly character. Amen. When the angel came to Manoah's wife and told her about the coming son, Manoah said, "If the angel comes again, please let me know." We find here was Manoah, and there was his wife, Samson's mother. And when the angel visited him, he said, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife's response was, "If the Lord were going to kill us, he would not have taken our offerings, and he would have not told us about our coming child." Here was a woman that was anointed with wisdom to be a helpmeet to her husband. And he thought that God was going to destroy them. But she said, "If God was going to kill us, he would not have accepted our offerings, and he wouldn't have told us about our coming child." But here was a woman with divine wisdom and says that if God was going to kill us, he would not have promised us this coming child. Amen. And that's why I believe that a woman is an helpmeet to the husband. Amen. Amen. She is not a doormat, but she is your divine expression. Amen. Amen. The same as a church that looks upon Jesus Christ as Savior, Protector, Counselor, and Supplier of all our needs. We know we as the church, we always have needs. We come to the altar, we bring our needs. But we also got to know that God has got more needs than we have. And that need that God has is for our worship. And Brother Branham says, worship is not confined to a church service. Worship is not when we clap hands and we have a good time. But he says you can worship God by the life you live. You can worship God by the way you dress as sisters. You can worship God by being a gentleman and being a divine Christian. You can worship God by testifying to others and telling them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's worshiping God. And your very life and your existence should be an expression that you worship God. Amen. People can be very on fire in church. We can clap hands, we can dance, we can have a wonderful time. And we can come under a supreme anointing and we can do wonderful things in church. But that is a come and go anointing. But the end time anointing, that supreme anointing, that anointing that the high priest was anointed with, that anointing came upon Aaron's beard and came dropping down from the head of Aaron and down and goes into the skirts and to the body. And I believe the same anointing that was on the end time messenger comes upon the body. It doesn't remain upon the head. It's got to run down to the beards. It's got to go down to the body and even to the skirts. And that anointing is not just limited, but it's an anointing of transformation. It is anointing that changes you from glory to glory back into the original glory. Amen. It should be the desire of a woman's heart to look upon a husband as a head, as a protector, and a supplier of all her emotional needs. We as the church, the body of Christ, if we submit to his will and first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all our needs will be supplied. Amen. That's why the picture on Sunset Mountain, it wasn't the body, it was the head. Because the body was on the earth. When Saul, the word Saul means to break down. Paul means to build up. And when Saul met the pillar of fire, the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" But Saul was persecuting the body. But the head was saying, "You are hurting me." Amen. So once you hurt the body, you hurt the head. Because the head is connected with the body. Can we say praise the Lord? It did not say, why do you hurt my church? But it says, why do you hurt me? But because the body was hurt, the head was responding that you are hurting me. That's why Brother Branham says, God would rather let you love his children than love him. Can we say praise the Lord? You are the expression of Almighty God. And that's why when a man hurts his wife, he's hurting himself. Amen. If a man goes and talk bad about his wife to his mother or to his family and run her down, he's a fool. Amen. He's hurting himself. Amen. He's hurting his own body. Amen. Amen. That's why Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. Amen. We as the church, as the body, so would the woman seek the kingdom of a husband. A woman should be able to know and roam in the kingdom of her husband, and all her needs will be supplied. Amen. I don't care if your husband is a military dictator. You can conquer that spirit. I don't care if it's a German hard spirit, or if it's a dictator, or if it's a hard military man. I believe that there's something in the woman that can conquer that spirit. Amen. 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 And that's why there's no virtue in complaining.
Amen.
But it's to conquer and to enter.
Amen.
That's why Brother Branham says, God, I would never want you to crown my life with a complaining spirit. And that's why we find Israel, they died in the wilderness because of complaining. And if a church complains continually against their pastor, that pastor can do nothing for them. And that's why we have to know that complaining spirits drives God out of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care if a man is a slave driver. There's something in the woman that can conquer that. Because what you need lays within that man. And as you enter, you draw from him the fuel and the energy, the love that you need to exist, to be fulfilled. Amen. The messenger said, full obedience to all the word entitles us for the token.
Amen.
What is the token? Perfect love. What is the token? The life of God.
Amen.
What is the token? Brother Branham says the token is the entire Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That has come and visit the church at the end time.
Amen.
What is the token? The token is the headstone. It's the mind of God that has come down. Amen. We now have his mind. What was in the mind of God came in the mind of Christ. And what is in the mind of Christ came in the mind of a prophet. What was in the mind of the prophet is now in the mind of the bride. Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
What was in the mind of Abraham? Abraham said to Eliezer, go and get me a bride, was transferred in the mind of Eliezer.
Amen.
And what was on Eliezer's mind was transferred on Rebekah's mind.
Yes.
Who told Rebekah that she must feed the camels?
Right. Right.
But Eliezer said, Lord, the first damsel who comes out and feeds my camels and feeds and gives me water to drink, that's a sign she's bride.
Amen.
She never did anything supernaturally. Amen. But the mind of the messenger was transferred on her mind. And when that same mind that was on the messenger was transferred upon Rebecca's mind, that's a sign she's bride.
There you are.
Can we say praise the Lord? The book was in the hands of God. The book came in the hands of Adam. Adam was the book. The book went back in the hands of God. The book came in the hands of Christ, the Lamb. The book came in the hands of an end time prophet. Where's the book now? The book is in the bride.
Amen.
We have the authority, we have dominion, we have power.
Amen.
The book is no more in the sky.
Amen.
We are the book.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
What was in God's mind has been transferred in the mind of an end time bride. Yes. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And that's why, brother, sister, if you can have a revelation of your origin,
amen,
you can have faith in your destiny.
Amen.
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 Before you can have faith in your destiny, you've got to have a revelation of your origin.
Yes, sir.
Your origin is not America.
Yes.
We're not Americans. We're not Africans or Germans.
Amen.
Our origin comes from God.
Amen.
And the moment you see your origin,
amen,
you can have faith in your destiny.
Amen.
Praise His wonderful name.
Amen.
That's why predestination lies in the hands of the predestined.
Amen.
Nator, the one who came to predestinate us.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
William Branham entered into a relationship with God, a perfect union between the Logos and this end time Elijah. We all desire to have a third pull. We all desire to speak. We all desire to see supernatural things. But before we can, God can even use, before God can give you the sword to handle, there's got to be a perfect relationship. There's got to be a perfect life. God cannot give you the sword unless you come to full maturity that God can trust you with His word.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord? And this end time prophet came to an equality with God. There was a shameless equality. The trainer and the horse became one. The mind of God was the mind of the prophet. Can we say praise the Lord? And when father and son was on the Colorado storm, father or son, either one of them could have spoken the storm out of existence. But God chose that the son would do it. And the son spoke, and the storm disappeared.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
What was God showing us? An example seed. A perfect life, a perfect subjection, a perfect submission. Brother Branham represented the bride under full headship.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He was an example seed. That's why God rehearsed everything through this end time prophet. The rapture, the changing of the body. God rehearsed the changing of the body through one man. When Brother Bannon was in the woods and this great burden upon his heart and how the Holy Spirit came and how he was changed in every essence. He says, I look and I was a young again. In every essence, I was young. What was God doing? God was rehearsing the rapture. And what was God going to do by one end time seed, by one example seed, He's going to deal with every other seed. Because we are the offering of William Branham. We could not even serve God outside of this messenger. You never knew God. You never knew about Logos. You never knew about Melchizedek. You never knew about nothing. But the prophet says in the original seed, you can only serve God as God sends His messengers on the earth to interpret the word of God to you. Can we say praise the Lord? He entered into a relationship with God, a oneness, a subjection, but a perfect equality, a perfect union between the Logos and this end time Elijah. He represented the bride. He became a perfect reflection. What was he doing? He was taking a feminine role under God. But he was reflecting God. He was reflecting God so much. It wasn't the physical structure of William Branham. It was the image on the inside. It wasn't his nose, his features, his eyes. It wasn't that. That wasn't the image of God. The image of God was on the inside that it was reflecting out. Because Brother Branham says, when Adam and Eve fell, the holy image of God left them. But that image was in the voice of Elijah. In the days of the voice, that's where the image lies in. Amen. He presented the bride. He became a perfect reflection. When people saw him, they saw the bridegroom reflecting. Under authority, yet he was in authority.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham speaks about this young married couple. You know, they were just married very young. I'd like to read the quote to you. It's on one of those quote sheets that I made. It's on, I think it's in quote number 2. I want to read it to you. Brother Branham says, I was preaching the other night, before I read that quote, some way about women obeying their husbands, obey, yeah, that went out of the marriage ritual long time ago. They ain't going to do that. No, sir. They live in America. They let you know so. They're not going to obey. But as long as you don't do it, don't never try to call yourself a Christian, because you are not. I don't care how much you dance and speak in tongues. If you don't obey your husband, you are out of the will of God. Amen. And I believe our husband, Jesus Christ, the revealed word. And if we don't bow down before this word of God, we are out of the will of God. I'm going to read this quote. And after they lived together about 2 years, this young man, lady said to her husband one day, she said, dear, I suppose that's kind of a hard for you, just a new Christian. I've been a Christian since a little girl, but says for you to a young Christian to have stand all the vials and temptations that goes with it after you've sinned so long. And he said, well, it does become a battle. She said, I want you to remember one thing, that if the enemy does upset you some way and you fall and you go back into sin, don't stay away from home. I want you to come home. And I want to encourage maybe young Christians, no matter how much Satan attacks you on the outside, don't stay away from church. Amen. Don't tell your mind, I'm first going to sort myself out for 2 months and then I'll come back again. The devil will sort you out. Amen. Don't stay away from church. Because the fivefold ministry is your healing source. Amen. The prophet says, in the church of the living God lies all the power to overcome every temptation. Amen. But you got to stay in the body. Yes. Amen. The preaching of the word cast off unbelief. Yes, and the preaching of the word will cast spirits from you. And no matter how much Satan buffets you, even if you feel condemned coming to church, still come to church. Even if you battle with the lust of the flesh, you can't overcome things in life, don't stay away from church. Even if you come to church just sitting here, receive nothing, just come to church. Even if you come empty, go back empty, still come, because sit under the atmosphere of the word. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. I says, I want you to come home. You're going to find at home the same wife that you married. And said, I will help you to pray back and pray you through and get you back again. I don't want you to stay away. Said, look, I married you upon the basis, not of what you were, but I married you because I loved you. She said, no matter what you do, I still love you. I married you because I loved you. God's love for us is elective love. God's love for us is unconditional. Can we say praise the Lord? Aren't you happy, brother, sister? That your physical weakness, your mistakes, your genetic traits in your life cannot change God's mind about you. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, how can a man ever want to sin with a love like that? Amen. That's why we love the Lord. And that's why our sisters wear long dresses. That's why we live a Christian life, because we love the Lord. Amen. This is not 10 commandments, do's and don'ts. This is not a great big do and a great big, it's a great big done. Yes. Our perfection has been paid for. Yes. By one sacrifice, He has perfected us forever. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's why Brother Branham said, that's why a man should live such a life before his wife, so that she could reverence him. Make it easy for her, like a church. Make it easy for the pastor, so that he can minister to your needs. That's why Nicolaitism is when men come and dictate the church and rule the church by fear. As Brother Eugene was ministering to us this morning, how that you cannot bring that horse under subjection by fear. Amen. But by tenderly leading and guiding that horse and bringing it into subjection by love.
Amen.
Amen. And thank God, fear has been removed.
Amen.
The days of human leadership is over.
Amen.
Amen. Christ, for the first time, the body has been fitly joined together. Paul says, I desire that I might present Christ a beloved bride. Paul could not do it. He says, oh, Galatians, you have been bewitched to follow another gospel, another Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But thank God that God came to present himself to himself at this end time. There is no fellowship between superior and inferior. Amen. There's no fellowship. But there's got to come an equality for fellowship to really take place.
Amen.
Amen. That's why a minister ministers, it is to bring the church to the same level of what he's looking at. The minister is behind the veil. The congregation is in the sanctuary. But he's got to minister and bring them to the same level where he is for him to fellowship with them. Can we say praise the Lord? Brother Bannon was on the earth. He could not fellowship with anybody. People around him didn't understand what he was even saying. He could. He was a man alone. He could not even share the depth what he was looking at. Amen. And Brother Bannon told Brother Hickerson, he says, Brother Hick, as long as I'm here, you will remain there. But when I'm gone, you'll come up to my level. Amen. And after 33 years, we are now coming to the same. We are seeing what William Branham really saw. God has raised this bride up to the same level to see what the prophet really saw. Can we say praise the Lord? We have grown now. We are seeing what he really said, what was in God's mind. We are now understanding William Branham's message. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. That's why Brother Branham said to Billy Paul, did you understand what I was ministering? He says, yes, Dad. He says, did you really understand? He says, no, Dad. Amen. But God has taken 33 years to bring us to the same equality.
Amen.
And now we can enjoy and we could see what he was really seeing. Because God has raised the bride up to the same equality to see what he is looking at. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, when the bridegroom comes, wouldn't he be the bride? He calls it the bride coming of Christ. John saw the bridegroom, but the bride was sealed in the bride. When John, the seals were standing before John. And John says, I am happy. I've heard the voice of the bridegroom. But the bride was sealed in the bride. But this end time Elijah not only heard the voice of the bridegroom, he was the voice of the bridegroom. Not only was it the voice of the bridegroom, but it came to unveil the bride. Amen. Hallelujah. A union and equality in God's plan, supremacy is Satan's plan. That's why Lucifer, when he came to Eve, he not only physically seduced her, but it was first a spiritual seduction, a mental seduction. From a mental seduction, there was a spiritual seduction and then a physical seduction. Amen. How did corruption come in the bodies? It came by a false teaching. Amen. A false teaching, a false interpretation of the word of God brought corruption in these bodies. What will stop corruption? A true teaching.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Branham says, by the grace of God, we have a true teaching with divine vindication that the perfection is here.
Amen.
And for the first time, there's a group of people on this earth that is not going to go to the cemetery.
Yes.
Amen. For the first time, there's a group of people, there was types, there was different ones, but for the first time, there's a group of people that are refusing to go to die.
Amen.
refusing to go to the cemetery because the word has come to stop corruption. Amen. Corruption came in by a false teaching, but the true teaching of the word will stop corruption. Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Paul died. But Brother Branham says, Paul's message was a prophecy of the end time. Amen. Amen. This message of the hour is nothing else but Paul's revelation. Because Alpha is Omega. And Brother Branham said, I preach exactly what Paul preached. Because Paul was the husband of the church. Amen. And for the first time, Paul's church never understood him. Paul says, I would like to tell you about Melchizedek. I would like to share you the deeper things, but I cannot tell you. You are still babes. You got to drink milk. Milk is feminine. Meat is masculine. But he says, when the full age comes, then you will understand. The full age has come, brothers and sisters. Can we say praise the Lord? The four living creatures, the face of the man, the ox and the lion, all when they are babies, they drink milk. But the eagle doesn't drink milk.
Amen.
Amen. The first time you come in the message church, you heard about Melchizedek. You heard about the Logos. You heard about so many deep things. Your mind was unfruitful, but something on the inside said amen.
Amen.
That's why the revelation of Jesus Christ is revealed to the most illiterate person. You don't have to have a college education to understand this message. It's revealed to the most illiterate person because it has nothing to do with education, your five senses and mental senses. It is the attribute on the inside that will say amen to that word. And you can leave the service and you say, what did the brother really minister on? He said, well, I can't explain, but I just know something on the inside I rejoiced about it. It is the attribute that responds back to the attribute. A true minister is ministering back to you, you back to you.
Amen.
From the day we are born, from the day we are born, we come into a world of competition. From the first day we walk into the classroom, you are taught to excel. One family wants to be better than the other family. One church, one tribe, one nation wants to excel better than the other one. That breeds violence, war. It's all inspired by Satan. That's why in Africa, tribalism is worse than racism. There's a genocide. People can wipe out tribes and thousands and millions of people because of tribalism. The poverty of Africa because of tribalism. Each tribe wants to outdo the other tribe. And there's thousands of tribes. But thank God for the message of the hour that has taken us away from all those tribalism and all cultures and brought us into a new dimension of the Word of God. We are a new creation of God.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
You might think racism is bad, but tribalism is worse.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Even in our country, there's a Xhosa tribe, there's a Zulu tribe. Each tribe kills one another. In every state, every country of Africa, it's one tribe against the other tribe. But thank God, brother, sister, we're not part of the cosmos. We've been raised up higher. Amen. In my country, when I was raised up under an apartheid structure, it never bothered us. We could fellowship. We had white brothers, black brothers, brown brothers. We were colorblind. Those things never bothered us because we were in another dimension. Amen. It wasn't brothers from our natural flesh. It was brothers by revelation. We are revelation brothers. We are revelation sisters. We don't look at pigmentation. We don't look at color, skin, and race. We look at attribute. It's attribute responding back to attribute. Amen. The prophet gave us all that was in his heart so that all can come to the same maturity. When God opened the seals, God became vulnerable. God became naked. And we are naked. And that brings a union. Adam was naked. Eve was naked. There was a union. God was unveiled in this end time. And Brother Manham says, you were sealed with the seals. And when the seals open, you were unveiled.
Amen.
Amen. And when two omnipotents meet, something has to shake. Hallelujah. He has brought us to the same relationship, and it is this equality that brings a rest in the body. As Brother Eugene said, what brings a rest to the horse is when the horse and the trainer comes to the same mind. Same equality. We have come to the same mind at the end time, Elijah. Amen. And that's the same with the husband and wife. They've got to come to the same mind. Your mind should be transferred on your wife's mind. And what you even think she would do without you even speaking the word. She would know your desires. She would know your feelings. She would know what you desire because your mind is transferred on her mind. Amen. That's why Nicolaitanism brings fear, but equality brings true headship. God as our husband has descended with his love called capstone, the mind. He came to prove his love for us. God came to prove that he loved us. God came to embrace his bride. When Christ came on Sunset Mountain, God was literally coming to kiss his bride. Brother Manham says, when Jesus hang between the heavens and the earth, heavens and earth embrace one another. What was God doing? He was embracing. God not only embracing the bride, but God told the prophet, pick up your pen. I want you to dictate a letter to my bride. God, our husband, wrote a letter to us. God wrote many letters in seven church ages. And every of those letters, I know your works. You are cold, you are lukewarm, and you have followed Balaam, and you have followed the synagogue of Satan. And there's always rebukes in those letters. But in this letter, there's no condemnation. Amen. That's what the bride of Jesus Christ has slipped into from Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7. We are right back into Romans 8. All condemnation has been removed. Amen. There is now no condemnation for those who are proven to be in Christ. Amen. He wrote this letter to the bride. And his spirit said, it is to do with the word and the bride. It starts with the law of reproduction. That each species will bring forth of its own kind. And that the very same law applies to the church today. It says the Holy Spirit shows that the original seed will bring forth the original seed. And how that Christ of his own seed, his bride, will come to the headstone. And Brother Branham says those in the bride will be so much like him. She will be him. That's a statement. She will be him. She's a super race, a super church. And how if they come together in the headstone, she will be him. Amen. Showing that denominations cannot produce that image. The Spirit spoke about Adam, and the Spirit spoke about the second Adam. And it shows that how that the Virgin Mary was the word promise. And it shows that how there was going to be a harmony existing between Christ and the bride. He said the same harmony that was between father and son will now be between bride and bridegroom. Amen. Nothing can harm her, not even death. Nothing can touch her because she's one with the bridegroom. Can we say praise the Lord? What a wonderful place when the woman can be adopted by her husband. Then there's no more inequalities. Then there's no more inferior positions. She's come to the same position. If there's an adoption between the messenger and God, and there was an adoption between bride and Christ, then that same adoption has got to come home. Amen. You and your wife has got to come to the same adoption when she's just no more under you, but she's absolutely come into the same equality with you.
Amen.
And yet she's under you, and yet she's with you. She will be him.
Amen.
That's why God don't beat us into subjection. We come in subjection by a divine revelation. No man can beat his wife in subjection. Amen. It won't work. She'll have a nervous breakdown. Her hair will start falling out. She'll be all nervous. She'll be scared of you. But we don't come into subjection by military slave driving. But we come into subjection because of a divine revelation of who we are.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord? Brother Branham saw in this vision about this man beating down this woman. And in the vision he saw it was his mother. And how he had a three-corner piece stick and how he was beating her down. Amen. And how the faith muscles grew. And he says, before you strike another blow, you'll have to deal with me. Amen. That's why no ministry should beat the church in subjection. No pastor, no ministry should be able to beat the church every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But they should come in subjection by divine revelation. Can we say praise the Lord? I can guarantee you today, brother, sister, if any minister presents the true image of Jesus Christ every Sunday to his local church, sin will have no power in that church. Because what you behold, that's what you'll be. If you behold a wrong Jesus, you'll become a wrong Christian. But if you behold the true image of God, as you behold, you are changed from glory to glory into his original glory. Can we say praise the Lord? It is what you behold. Brother Branham says people use fear to get people around them. But fear has been removed. The trainer and the horse has got one mind. Christ and the bride has become one mind. Amen. And that's why no pastor, no minister can beat the bride in subjection. Amen. The Bible says the woman is the weaker vessel, but yet she is the strength of the man.
Amen.
The bride, we are the weaker vessel spiritually, but we are God's victory.
Amen.
Without you, God has got no victory.
Right.
Calvary would be in vain.
Amen.
But we are the manifestation of God's victory. Your wife is your victory.
Amen.
Amen. Behind every good man, there's a good woman. She can make you or she can break you. Amen. That's why I'm saying there is nothing so powerful in the entire universe than a healthy marriage. You got to come home. Amen.
Amen.
We have been raised in different cultures, in different traditions, which we have to bring into subjection to God's word. I was just in Kenya the other day, in Nairobi, about 6 weeks ago, and I was ministering to the Brother Komari's church in Obadiah, and he was telling me that in the culture, is that a woman among the African culture, a man is not allowed to tell his wife, "I love you." That speaks of weakness. Is not allowed to embrace his wife or kiss his wife before the family or before the children. It speaks of weakness. Is not allowed to hold a hand in public or in the street. It speaks of him flirting with another woman. So those cultures and people come in the message and those cultures bind them. But thank God for the message of the hour that smashes every culture. Whether it's Asian, whether it's Western, whether it's Latin American, those cultures is smashed by the message of this day.
Amen.
Among the Asian culture is the mother-in-law, especially the mother of the son. There is always that the mother-in-law becomes the mother superior, and they all got to give allegiance to this woman. They build a big home and every family stays together, and there is this culture that she is, because you've taken my son away from me. And in every culture, it differs. And people come in the message, and this culture strains them. But God, by the prophets of this end time, has broken those cultures. And show us once again that woman is not a doormat, but she's part of you. Can we say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. When we came in the message, it's almost like the message came to endorse our culture. But thank God, we are growing into the same equality of the end time Elijah. Amen. We have been raised up. Praise his wonderful name. Woman should never forget that she was born to be the glory of the man, to meet his need and to bear his children. And she should wear that crown with love and with dignity. You are special in the sight of God. Amen. When God drew the woman out of the man, a part of him was taken out of him, leaving a vacuum which the flesh only covered up. We might try to cover that up with success, money, independence, but there still remains a vacuum. We're living in the world of women's liberation. That's why Brother Manham says, if I was a woman, he says, I would want to stay home and look after my children. Amen. Unless there's a sick husband or there's a need in the family. And that's why so many women, Brother Manham says, they go to the offices, and there's many men. And men are absolutely the rascals. They will tell you, you look nice, you look pretty, you look stunning with the dress. Maybe your husband never compliments you. But somebody in the office will compliment you. And you would desire to go back there tomorrow again with another new dress because you live on compliments. Women live on words. They live on compliments. And one man can tell five women, I love you, and it means nothing about it. And all those five women can go and dream about him, and he's just playing about words. Amen. And that's why Brother Manham said that she's a queen at home next to her husband. That is the reason why there is a longing in the man's heart to claim back what was taken from him. It belongs to him. Redemption has two parts, taking out and going back into. Submission is a command, a love is a command. Love is a command, not an option. Unless a woman finds a place in a husband's life, he will not have anything to love. The ingredients is love and submission. Amen. I'm going to try to skip a few things, but I'm just going to continue on. Amen. We find that the book of Proverbs says, it speaks about Proverbs 5 and 31. It speaks about a virtuous woman. 31, verse 28, her husband also praises her. Every word of praise and appreciation builds the woman up. Because the woman lives by words. Amen. Eve was deceived by words. Amen. And that's why woman lives on words of appreciation. And that's why a man's mouth must always be ready open to give words of appreciation to his wife. The word I love you, I need you is more meaningful to her than physical contact, because she lives in his words. Amen. To praise her for being your companion, to praise her for being your mother, being the mother of your children, your spiritual partner, your friend, and your lover. Hugs and flowers and affections is more meaningful to her than sexual expression, because she lives on those words. Can we say praise the Lord? Every man gets the wife he deserves, for she becomes what he makes her. Amen. If you want to make your wife a nervous wreck, it is by your mouth. She wants to respect you, she wants to love you, but she's scared of you. Because when you walk in, you're going to find mistakes. But thank God for the true revelation of his divine word. If a man constantly runs her down, he will end up with a disgraceful wife. But if he constantly builds her up, he'll have a wife of a noble character. Amen. He can bring heaven out of her, or he can bring hell out of her. It's in his mouth. Life and death is in the mouth. No woman will be able to resist being loved. Her response will be to love you, respect and reverence you, to look upon you and to meet your emotional needs. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why when a woman, in one of the messages of Brother Branham, I think it's Faith is Substance, when a woman came in the prayer line and she was all nervous, she was just nervous, and Brother Branham discerned her and said to her, "Sister, it's not you, it is your husband. Your husband cannot overcome things in his life and he's transferred that spirit upon you. But Jesus Christ makes you well." Amen. So that's the same with the church. When a pastor has got private sins or ministry has got private sins in their life, they will minister all those things into the congregation. So what comes from the man, well, the church then will have that same things upon the church. And what the man cannot overcome privately in his private life and things that he can't overcome, he puts that same pressure upon the woman. Amen. Amen. They always say when a man is guilty himself, he hates you because of his own guilt. And he transfers his guilt upon you. But thank God we have a third party in our marriage. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to skip a few things. A woman reflects the church. A woman is a type of the church. A church is gauged by a woman. That's why there's always a reproach on the woman. There's always been a reproach under the church. Even in our natural marriage, it's the woman who bears the outward proof of marriage union. It is her body that changes, not the man's body. It's the woman's body. Amen. The reproach is always on the woman. And there's always been a reproach on the church of Jesus Christ. She has borne that reproach. Even when the man indulges in fornication, he can walk away from it. But it's the woman who must bear the reproach. Amen.
Amen.
But the best thing God could give a man is a good woman. She's a jewel and she's a crown to a man. Amen. That's why Brother Branham says in choosing of a bride, she was put out there. But if she can hold herself right, what a greater reward she has than a man. Because she was placed on the testing ground. We want to be taking a few women in the Bible. Looking at Esther. Esther, which means a star. She was reflecting God through courage and wisdom. We find when Vashti refused to come in the presence of the king, there was a separation. Esther came on the scene. We find that the king arranged a feast, a banquet, and the king was welcoming his wife into his presence. But she refused to come in the presence of her husband. There was a complete separation. When Mordecai, her uncle, spoke to her about presenting herself to that position to be the queen, she never questioned Mordecai, but she obeyed him unconditionally. Amen. I want to just show you how Esther changed the scene around. Everyone who knows Esther loved her. The king saw her. And when the king saw her, it was love at first sight. She found favor in the eyes of the king, and being a Jewish, she hid her identity. She soon found out that her husband's favorite official was the enemy of the Jews by the name of Haman. A decree went out, all the Jews must be killed. Amen. Judgment on the Jewish people. Esther didn't handle the situation by her own understanding, but she consulted the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful woman. Amen. She said, go and gather all the Jews and let them fast with me for 3 days. She used the Lord to work in the heart of her husband. Amen. If your husband places upon you things that is hard for you to bear, or things that you cannot undertake or understand, then I believe there's a greater authority. Christ is the head of your husband. Report him to the higher authority. Use God to soften his heart. And this is what Esther was doing. She used God to grant her wishes to the husband. The queen was not allowed. The queen was not allowed to come in the presence of the king unless she was called by invitation to be in his presence. Esther was under desperation to see the king. And she uttered these words, and astonishing words. She says, if I perish, let me perish. But I've got to see the king. A woman of courage prepared to die to save her people. God worked with her, with and through Esther, as only he knew her to be. And she arranged a banquet for the king. She was a woman of banquets. She arranged a first banquet to the king. The king made a banquet. We find when the king invited Vashti to come in his presence, the king made a banquet for Vashti. But in this time, Esther changed the situation. She made a banquet for the king. It wasn't now the king trying to please the queen. It is the queen trying to please the king. Can we say praise the Lord? It is the woman now seeing what she can try to please her husband. Amen. The king, we find Esther making a banquet for the king. She needed mercy for her people. And the only way she could find mercy was to please the king. When the king came into her presence, he wanted to know, what is your request? She asked the king to invite Haman, the king's official, to another banquet that she will arrange. She never came and tell the king, look, Haman, your corrupt official, wants to destroy my people. No, she worked with wisdom. From one banquet to another banquet. She was not only a woman of courage, but a woman of great wisdom. Her first appearance before the king was a risky one. But her desire was to please the king. Once the king granted her request for the second banquet, we read in Esther 7 and verse 2 and 3, and the king said again unto Esther, on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? Esther, the queen Esther said, and it shall be a petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even if it's half my kingdom. That's right. The king said, what is your desire? What can I give you, even if it's half your kingdom? She says, my lord, I don't want half your kingdom. I want mercy for my people, and I want judgment for Haman. She became the mercy seat, and she became a judgment seat. Amen. Amen. She stopped the judgments of God, the judgments of the king to come upon her people, and she stopped the judgments to come there, brother, sister, and she received mercy for her people. She stood in the gap. How did she do it? She changed the situation. She wasn't trying to see how the king could please her. But she was trying to see how she can please the king. Can we say praise the Lord? She became an intercessor in the hour of judgment. Can we say praise the Lord? She was a mercy seat. She wasn't looking on her pleasure, how the king could please her. But she was looking at how she can please her husband. What a wonderful hour. Where is the mercy seat? The mercy seat is in the bride. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? She used God. She did not allow her emotions to rule her. She wasn't looking how the king could please her, but she was looking how she could please the king. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to encourage the sisters tonight. Don't see how your husband can make you happy. See how you can make him happy. And when he's happy, his happiness will be transferred back on you again. Can we say praise the Lord? Any woman knows God has access to his wisdom at any time, under any circumstances, but she must learn to keep her emotions under control. Amen. She first seeks the kingdom of her husband, pleased him, found favor in his sight, and all her needs were supplied. Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
Do you want to be Esther tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I want to please my husband.
Amen.
And as I please him, I will receive mercy.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I will receive all the joys that's in him. Amen. Will be transferred back on me again. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? She had wisdom and perseverance and submission. Her confidence was not her beauty, but in her God. It was the glory of God shining through a royal robe. Amen. Brother Branham said, my wife stood between me and the public. He said, I love her so much, I can literally pull her right through me. We see another woman in the book of Kings, Elisha, pass to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she was constrained him to eat bread. She provided him with a little room, a bed to rest, and fed the man of God, serving the man of God. The woman's position here was natural, but the natural position was turned into a supernatural act.
Amen.
Amen. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
A woman doesn't have to be super spiritual to serve her husband. Her position is natural, but a natural position is turned into a supernatural act of God. Amen. Here was this woman just saying, I see the man of God passing by. I want to look after the man of God. I want to give him a room, a bed to rest. I want to serve him. I want to do something for the man of God. In verse 16, he said, about this, she never had a son, but he said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son, and the woman conceive and bear a son according to the time of life. What was she doing? She was serving that man. And as she served, doing a natural act, there was a supernatural intervention for her. Amen. And I can show you, as we will go along, most of the women in the Bible, their works was natural, but it was turned into a supernatural act.
Amen.
Rebecca was just giving water to the camels of Eliezer.
Yeah.
Rahab was just protecting the spies and giving them something to eat, and that was a salvation.
Amen.
Amen. This woman that just gave Elisha just some bread and a room and looked after him, that brought her a son to her life. She was not doing anything supernaturally, but was just supplying and serving, and God blessed her with a life. And when the boy grew up, he died. Elisha took the boy to the same room, shut the door, and prayed, and there was a resurrection. And a woman is connected with the resurrection. Amen. There was a resurrection with this woman, and wherever there's woman, there's always a resurrection connected with it. Amen. The act was natural, but the results was supernatural. Amen. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah coming to the woman that was in a famine and was about to die. The widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. She was about to die. She was skin and bone. But Elijah said, give me first. Now, if she had to say, you're a man, you're healthy, you're strong, I'm about to die, I'm about to just to have my last meal and die. But she never questioned the man of God. She never said, you know, you're a man, I'm a woman. She wasn't comparing male and female. But she basically said, as the Lord, she just gave Elijah. And as she gave him, he said, "As the Lord liveth, I have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, and I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." There was no body around her. She was just skin and bone. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make thee a little cake first and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son." Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." A natural act to that man was turned into a supernatural act. Amen. She received a new body by the spoken word. The neighbors must have come and said, "Well, you know, we see a change in you. We see your cheeks is getting rosy. What's the secret?" And when the neighbors come by and look, where's the oil? There's no oil. But when she goes there, there's enough oil. Amen. Where was the body? Where was the new body? Her body was in that oil. Amen. Where is our new bodies? It's in the word. Amen. As we eat this word, we are changed. Her natural supplying the needs of the man of God. She received life and resurrection. Her act was natural, but the benefits were supernatural. Can we say praise the Lord? We see in 1 Samuel 25, read about Abigail, how she trusted God, even knowing her husband was a son of Belial, a man nobody could even speak to. But Abigail, and David and his men was kind to Nabal. In the time of harvest, David sent his young men to Nabal for bread, but he sent them away empty-handed. When the young men returned, David and told him what Nabal had said, he said, "Gird yourself, every man, with a sword, and let us go and destroy the household of Nabal." But there was a woman who became an intercessor. She stopped the judgments of David. She became the mercy seat. Amen. And she said to the men, and Abigail said, "You know, get me a donkey and get me, get me the ashes and let's go and let's take some food to David." What was she doing? She wasn't doing anything supernaturally, but she was going there to supply the natural needs of David. Yep. And by supplying the natural needs of David, she stopped the judgments of David. She became a mercy seat. Amen. But there was an Abigail, a woman, a good understanding. She heard her husband, what her husband did. She made haste and became an intercessor. She became a mercy seat. She said in verse 28, "I pray thee, forgive thee the trespasses of thy handmaid, for the Lord will greatly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord." It says, "The battles of my Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days." In verse 38, "The Lord smote Nabal and he died." When Abigail came back and said to him, "The soon coming judgments of David was going to strike our household," the Bible says his heart went like a stone and he died in 10 days. But there was a woman serving David naturally, and she became a mercy seat. That act, natural act, was turned into a supernatural act. Amen. We look at Mary and Martha, the friends of Jesus, serving him and caring for him for his natural needs. And when death struck them, there was a resurrection for them. Can we say praise the Lord? A woman doesn't have to know all about the seals, all about the things. I don't say don't read the seal book or don't read the message, but I'm trying to bring a point. I'm trying to bring a point that your position is a natural position. And whatever you want to know, God will give it to you. Amen. We read in Luke chapter 7, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. In verse 38, "And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. And she did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, anointed him with the ointment." What was she doing? She was serving Jesus Christ. She was doing a natural act. That ointment came from prostitution. Jesus never refused the ointment. He accepted the natural serving him, and that natural serving him, she pulled out of Jesus Christ forgiveness. And he said to the woman, your sins, which are many, it's all forgiven. As she serves him, out of him came forgiveness. As Abigail served David, out of him came mercy. Can we say praise the Lord? As a woman serves her husband, from him comes love, mercy, and grace. And he said unto her, thy sins, which are many, it's all forgiven. What she needed was in the Lord. And by serving him, caring for him, her needs was supplied. Can we say praise the Lord? Many men can be in their own home, and they can be in their own home sitting like Jesus with dirty feet, unentertained and unwelcome. Amen. But brother, sister, as you enter into his kingdom, you pull from him all what you need. Can we say praise the Lord? Yet the end time was a prophet's wife by the name of Meda. Under stress, people come into the home. Under stress, she banged the door in the prophet's face. The Holy Spirit says, I wasn't pleased what she was doing. Tumor grew in the body. Grew like the size of a lemon. She couldn't even walk anymore. Brother Branham was in another city. And Brother Branham became an intercessor. Amen. In the hour of his wife's operation. The prayer that Brother Branham made, he never said, Lord, my wife knows all the church age book. My wife read the seals. My wife sings in the choir. She's very super spiritual. But he came to present her natural position to God. He said, Lord, I've been on the field so many times. I've been away from home all my time. She never complained. She washed my shirt. She irons my clothes. And she never complained. The Holy Spirit says, stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Before the doctors ever touch her, it's gone. Her natural position was turned into a supernatural act of God. The prophet turned around and he says, and you women wonder how you can serve God. He says, as you serve your husbands, that's how you serve God. Can we say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. But here stands the man of God, brother, sister. In this hour, standing as an intercessor, praise God. I believe the greatest gift God can give a man is a God-fearing woman. I believe that you are heaven's best. All real marriages begins in heaven. You are jewels. You are life carriers. You are heaven's best. Try to do your best. Wear your crown, your royal robe of submission with pride and with glory.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care how super spiritual a woman can be in church, but if he doesn't find the art how to serve that man, God won't accept the worship. It was a natural position. He said, Lord, she washed my clothes, she irons my shirt, and she never complains. And God said, stand up. Say, thus say the Lord. A natural position was turned into a supernatural act. Can we say praise the Lord? Submission is not slavery. It is not a servant girl mentality. Submission is your freedom. Amen. The greatest form of liberation is via truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. The only form of liberation is truth. And thank God, he has sent us his truth to liberate us. I want to say, sisters, wear your crowns with glory. Wear your royal robe with pride. God has made you heaven's best. May God bless you and may God be with you. Can we all stand? Amen. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. love the Lord, brothers and sisters? I wonder if we can just, maybe if your wife is next to you, just put your arm around your wife. Maybe if she's standing right next to you, and just let's just close our eyes and raise our hands and just say, Lord, we love you and we thank you for your grace. Amen. While you place your arm around your wife, just pray for her. Say, Lord, we just love you and we appreciate you. I love him. I love him. Yes, I love him. I love him. Why do you love him? He first loves me and purchased my salvation. On Calvary Street, let's raise our hands and sing it one more time. I love him. I love him. Yes, I love him. Why do you love him? He first loved me. And purchased my salvation. And purchased my salvation. On Calvary Street. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just pray together. Let's just all pray together in our own way. And let's just worship the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you this evening. We just worship you, Lord, and we thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Wash us by your word, Lord. Make us more like you by your word, Lord. Lord Jesus, we realize the more we humble ourselves, the more we submit, the more we'll bring out of you, the more we will be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we want to humble ourselves at your feet. Thank you for the word of life we've been hearing these many days and nights. It's already Saturday, just one more meeting. This week has gone by so fast, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all them. The truths, all the keys that each one of us are going to take home in our hearts with us. Help us, Lord, as Satan, like a roaring lion, will do everything he can to try to disturb this revelation. Bring confusion and anger and disruption to this revelation. But may we resist him. May we resist him, Father, by while under the trial, may we properly respond. Not railing for railing, accusation for accusation, but contrary, blessing. To give a blessing, for thereunto were we called. To give blessings and to be a blessing. Help us as men to deal with our wives according to knowledge, recognize them as the weaker vessels, that our prayers are not hindered. To honor them and to love them and to cherish them and to verbalize that. To speak it every day in some way. Lord, help us as men to look for the good and praise it. Help us as men, Lord, not to be so critical. Not to be so quick to want to change them. But help us, Lord, to find that good. And there's so many wonderful things our wives do every day. We simply take it for granted. And Lord, help us to find that good and then verbalize it. Lord, if there are men here that just don't know how to speak it, Father, I just pray that you would teach them to be able to say from the depths of their heart, no matter how hard it is, honey, what you did the other day, how you overcame, how you treated the children, how you responded to your little girl, how you handled your teenage son. Lord, honey, you did that so beautifully. And I wanted to just tell you, that was just wonderful. Honey, thank you for that meal. Thank you for that wonderful meal. Lord Jesus, we just forget as men, we just don't comprehend how much they appreciate that. We don't comprehend it. And Lord Jesus, it's been by the teaching that we've heard that we realize how they thrive, and how they flourish, and how they blossom, and how they begin to become happy again and joyous again and a little skip in their step again, because we praise them and we genuinely praise them and we genuinely enjoy them. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do our part. And I know that the wife, as she was made for the man, she wants to put on that royal robe of submission. I pray for the wife right now who's had that military general as a husband. Pray that you'll help her to overcome her hardness and put down her defenses. And I know that while I'm even speaking this, she's thinking, impossible, I've tried it. But Lord Jesus, you can work a miracle this evening. As Brother Harold says, bitterness causes cancer. Anything that is against the word, if we harbor it very long, will take on bodily form. Anything we harbor for very long will take on a bodily dimension. If we harbor love, if we harbor peace, if we harbor joy, if our tabernacle is the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, then there's health associated with that. Health to our navel, the Bible says. Health to our bones. But if we harbor grudges, prophets say that causes heart attacks. Bitterness causes cancer. Worry, ulcers. Father, help each one of us. I pray particularly for that wife right now who wants to be beautiful again on the inside, but she's actually beginning to reflect what she thinks her husband thinks of her. She's beginning to feel so ugly on the inside. But Lord, I pray that that husband will go to her and by words set her free. Say, first of all, if your wife is hard, you go to her and sincerely repent. Say, I'm sorry. Ask for her forgiveness. If she's become a dried up flower because you've not watered her, then go and repent. If she's sad, as I said last night, if she's depressed, that's a reproach to you, my brother, because she is your reflection. She's reflecting something that you are not giving her, that she is lacking. Me, you can meet that need. And wife, oh my, if he comes, receive his forgiveness, accept his forgiveness, accept his repentant heart. Ask God to allow you to put down your defenses, not to harbor bitterness anymore. It will kill you, it will hurt you, it will destroy your marriage, your fruitfulness for Christ. You'll be so busy fighting bad attitudes, you'll have no virtue left for anybody. Let that end right now. Let the word that has been spoken to settle that forever set you free. My brother, those of you that feel so divided, you hear messages like this, but then you get into the motel room and the wall goes right up, that instant defense. You know what you should say. You know the kind words you should say. You know what should come out of your mouth, but your pride sometimes will hinder you. Swallow that pride. Put it down. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and say the right thing. A word fitly spoken. How good it is. A word fitly spoken. A word spoken in due season. It's healing to the body. Lord Jesus, thank you for the word of life that we've heard this evening. Help us to apply it, Lord Jesus. Help us. May we go out of here absolutely convinced and prepared and equipped. We have been equipped, ready to apply these things. There's nothing more powerful than a healthy marriage. What aren't you doing? What is not getting done for the kingdom because your marriage is crippled? And what could you be doing for the kingdom if you weren't so self-centered and so self-absorbed within the framework of your marriage? What isn't getting done? What's happened to your children? What's happened to your children because of the barriers in the walls? It's time for those walls to come down. It's time for you to not just hold her hand, but hold her heart. And if you have some apologizing to do, you do it. Lord Jesus, thank you once again for everything that's been happening this week on the grounds, during the song service, during the specials, and the preaching of the word, sitting at fellowship. How wonderful. How wonderful. We asked all these things and we asked you to change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today.
In our homes,
in our homes, Lord.
Price
of redemption on the cross of Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord who reigns with wisdom and with power. Bless the Lord, oh amen, who reigns my life with so much love he can make a perfect heart. Sing it to him now. Oh, bless the Lord. That's it. Amen.
Make it.
Yes, he can make a perfect heart.
You know, we never stop to realize, I think, as women especially, how much you can draw out of your husband. And some of you women have tapped into that secret. And you realize just how much that hubby of yours is putty in your hands. And what the words you say to him can he'll just do anything for you. He'll just do anything for you. How many understand that, sisters? Let me hear you say amen. How many enjoyed Sister Ernestine today? And what sister, say amen. It's all right to say amen. Amen. Many people after the service came and we got to talk with them, and they just said they just so appreciate what Sister Beckett had said, and that it really touched them and really met a need in their life. So I was very, very happy for that. Very happy for that. We had a minister's luncheon today, and I don't know, I think there was 42, 43, 44, something like that. I didn't get a good head count of the ministers. And there were so many good, solid, positive things that came out of that. And I believe a lot of the brothers from overseas, different countries, believe a lot of their needs with regard to getting the gospel spread will be met. Other brothers, pastors in the United States saw need Bibles here, medical supplies, need tape recorders, need duplicators. And it was such a profitable time. And that, you know, we hear the word at camp, you play ball at camp, you do things, but I just want to let you know also what went on at that luncheon meeting. It was just very profitable, and I was just so appreciative of the ministry and their desire the love, the trust, it was just tremendous. It was just the way it should be, and I appreciated it so much. Amen. Brother Bruce, are you here? Brother Bruce Painter, would you come, brother, and close for us in a word of prayer?
Lord, from the depths of our heart, we just pray, dear God, that we could live the words that we heard tonight. Lord, that's the cry of your bride, is to reflect to you, Lord. Oh, God, may it sink down to every husband here and every wife here, Lord, that it would reflect down to their children. Lord, those who are single here, Lord, and Lord, may they also be attentive to what was said, Lord, that they could prepare their hearts for that time, if that time ever comes, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that may they see the reflection in the spiritual, Lord, that they can still identify with this as in our relationship with you. Lord, that we could just, what a greater joy is there, Father, when we know that we're doing something that's pleasing to you. And Lord, we learn that principle tonight, Father. Lord, what greater joy is there when a wife can know that she's really pleasing her husband. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you for these truths, and we just pray, dear God, that they would just multiply, Lord, through our lives as we go back to our home churches. Lord, we'd be able to minister these words of life, and may it spread throughout the whole world, Father. As the brothers from Africa go back home and the brothers from Russia go back home, may these truths just spread throughout the country, Lord, that we could all manifest you and come go home to be with you forever, Lord. We just ask these things in your precious name. Watch over your people as they would go. Bring us back safely tomorrow, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Get a good night's rest, and let's seize upon the moment tomorrow. It's our last meeting, and we just want to throw ourselves into it. Amen. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake someone's hand, hug someone's neck, tell them you love them as you go.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with my Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Oh, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Yes, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Yes, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
He is my Shepherd. He's the great, the rock of all ages, rock of all ages. Almighty God is he, Almighty. like this day. To me there's never been a day like this day. I see there's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. Yes, there's never.